John Owen once wrote about God's providence. He said that even in the smallest details of our lives, God is arranging all things for His glory. When ako po'y nasa seminary pa na nag-aaral, I was single. And as a good single Christian man, isa sa mga maririnig nyo sa prayer request ko ay holiness. Bukod doon, ay yung mapapangasawa. I pray na, Lord, ipakilala mo na siya. Lord, ipakilala siya. And if I may confess, there are times that I feel a bit frustrated kasi I haven't met her yet. Until one day, ang seminary namin helped out out in the northern part ng Metro Manila sa province ng Bulacan, where we are church-conducted training sa isang church where I met a person named Diane. During that time, I was really focused sa aking ministry and not really trying to be distracted sa anumang mga bagay. But I did notice her. Pero in the back of my mind, well, kung kaloob-kaloob. After a few months, in an unplanned meeting, naglalakad ako sa SM North, sinong nakita ko? Mali, nakita niya ako. No, it's the other. Remember, if I tell our love story, make sure to confirm the real story pagdating sa kanya. But I saw her, and then from this unplanned time, na nagkaroon kami ng kwentuhan, and we really enjoyed it, exchange. Nung kami nag-exchange, I believe, ng numbers and photos. So pa yun ang time na yun. Yung mga photo na nasa wallet nung binibigay. And actually, I was the one who requested. So it was that. It was just an ordinary day, unplanned. Hindi ko alam nang makakausap ko pala sa mall ay ang mapapangasawa ko. No regrets. It was purely God's providence. Similarly, this was Jacob's scenario in Genesis 29. He arrives at a well in an ordinary day, tired, probably dusty, and then just like that, he meets Rachel. No dating app, no long introductions, just God's providence at work. Friends, do you believe that God is directing even the ordinary, even the seemingly random encounters of your life for your good and for His glory? As we turn to Genesis 29, that I would like to invite all of you to turn your Bibles to Genesis 29. Kung hindi pa kayo nandoon, we will see that God is not only guiding Jacob's steps, but quietly fulfilling His promises through them. Tayo po'y nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series in the book of Genesis, the God of Isaac and Jacob. So far, nakita na natin na Jacob obtained the birthright and the blessing through trickery and deceit. Yet ang kanyang ama na si Isaac confirmed the blessing as he sees na ito ang kalooban ng Panginoon as mentioned sa oracle sa kanyang asawa, si Rebecca. Then, as Jacob journeys papuntang Padam Aram, the Lord met him on the way in Bethel. And in the dream, God Himself confirms covenant promises kay Jacob, making him the covenant head. Galing na yun sa Panginoon. And from there, He started giving him promises that gave him assurance and comfort. Ngayong umaga, we continue to follow Jacob on his journey to Padam Aram, near Haran, the land where his mother came from, birthland ni Rebecca, where he begins to witness God's gracious providence unfolding in his life. This is my prayer for us this morning. Ay makita natin na God in His good providence orchestrates ordinary circumstances sa ating buhay to accomplish His purposes sa kanyang mga anak. Nawa ang katotohanang ito ay mas mapalalim pa ang pagtitiwala natin sa Kanya at mag-submit sa Kanyang guidance sa atin in every season ng ating buhay. To this, ito po ang ating main idea. God providentially guides and disciplines His people for His purposes. God providentially guides and disciplines His people for His purposes. So ang passage natin ngayon is divided into three points with three headings. Number one, providence in the journey. Providence in the journey, verses 1 hanggang 8. Number two, providence at the well. Providence at the well, verses 9 to 12. And number three, providence in the deception. Providence in the deception, which is 13 to 30. Una, makita natin how God is at work in the ordinary events and details of life to guide His people toward His plan, even when it seems coincidental. Pangalawa, makita din natin how God providentially brings relationships and opportunities together according to His purposes. And finally, makita din natin na ang guidance ng Panginoon includes loving discipline. Gagamitin niya ang trials at setbacks to refine our character and deepen our dependence on Him. So let's jump right in sa ating first part. Number one, providence in the journey. Basahin po natin muli ang passage from verses 1 to 6 sa pamamagitan ng English Standard Version. Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. As he looked, he saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep lying beside it. For out of the well the flocks were watered, the stone on the well's mouth was large. And when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep and put the stone back in its place over the mouth of the well. Verse 4, Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where do you come from?" They said, "We are from Haran." He said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" They said, "We know him." He said to them, "Is it well with him?" They said, "It is well. And see, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep." Ang verses 1 to 8 describe na papalapit na si Jacob sa journey niya papuntang Haran. At tulad ng inaral natin last time, he was traveling alone. It was a dangerous 3 to 4 weeks na journey. Wala tayong indication na kung saan may mga kasama siya o may mga armas o kagamitan siya. It's just him and probably the clothes on his back. At ang patuloy niyang pinapaarala sa kanyang sarili ay ang pangako na ibinigay ng Panginoon sa Bethel sa chapter 3, 28. Nang sinabi ng Panginoon that the Lord will keep him wherever he goes, that He will bring him back to the promised land, that He will not leave him until He has done what He has promised him. So, yun ang pinahahawakan ni Jacob habang papunta siya sa Haran, alone. This gave Jacob comfort and assurance. And the Lord showed His gracious providence over Jacob. The Lord guided Jacob every step of the way papunta sa kanyang lugar na pupuntahan. Nung papalapit na siya sa kanyang destination, may nakita siyang well o balon na may nakatakip na isang malaking bato na napapaligiran ng tatlong flocks at mga pastol or mga shepherds. Makakita natin dito that Jacob took the initiative na kausapin ang mga shepherds and asked them series of questions. Taga-Haran ba kayo basically? Taga-saan kayo? Kailan kilala niyo ba sila Laban? Nasa mabuti ba siyang kalagayan? Lahat ng mga sagot nilang ito kay Jacob ay positibo. Oo, tagaharam kami. Oo, kilala namin si Laban. Oo, nasa mabuting kalagayan siya ngayon. Katunayan nga, dinagdagan pa nila, papunta rito ang kanyang anak na babae na isa rin pastol. Dala-dala ang kanyang flock. Now, naniniwala ako when Jacob was growing up, ilang beses niya narinig yung kwento ng love story ng kanyang magulang na si Isaac and Rebecca, na kung saan ang lolo niyang si Abraham inutusan ng kanyang servant papunta sa Haran para hanapan ng asawa ang kanyang tatay na si Isaac. Then the Lord led the servant to a well, na kung saan may mga shepherds din na pinaiinom ang kanilang mga sheep. And then the servant was praying that the Lord would grant him success at kung sino ang babaeng mag-o-offer sa kanyang inumin at sa kanyang mga alagang camel, ang prayer ng servant na ito is, yun ang kalooban ng Panginoon. Now that would not be advisable sa mga singles na nagpe-pray. Na Lord, pag-upo ko rito sa food court mamaya, kung sino mag-aalok sa akin ng Coke? Yun na yun. Now, hindi po ito tips para magkaroon ng asawa o date. Hindi po yun. Then, Rebecca came sa servant ni Abraham and did just that. Now, knowing that story by the Lord's providence, the Lord had led Jacob to the very same well. Probably to the very same well. And kung alam niya yung love story na yun, marahil nasa isip niya, hindi kaya ganito rin ang nangyayari sa love story ko? Na may mga pastol din at may balon din, tapos paparating yung kamag-anak ng aking father? Sa isipan ni Jacob, maaaring ganito nga ang kahantungan ng love story ko? So ang question dito is, nung nangyari yun, anong ginawa ni Jacob? Tingnan natin sa verse 7 to 8. He said, "Behold, it is still high day. Is it not time for the livestock to be gathered together? Water the sheep and go pasture them. But they said, 'We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and the stone is rolled from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep.'" Na nung narinig ni Jacob na paparating si Rachel, bakit ito yung sinabi niya? Kasi nung napansin niya nang paparating si Rachel, agad-agad siya nakaisip ng paraan para paalisin ang mga shepherds. Para magkaroon po siya ng time makipag-usap kay Rachel. So in short, yung taktika niyang yun is pinaaalis lang niya yung mga mamang ito para magkaroon siya ng time kay Rachel. Tinanong niya kung bakit hindi pa nila painumin ang mga tupa para dalhin na rin, para magpastol na sila doon, mapakain nila ng mga dabon sa dulo. Pero pinaliwanag nila na hindi nila pwedeng galawin ang banto until magdatingan ang lahat ng mga flocks. Now, we're not sure kung bakit kailangan nilang mag-antayan bago painumin ang flock. Pero maaaring masyadong mabigat siguro yung bato para buhatin nila. Maybe these are shepherd boys. Or maaaring nakagawian lang nila na sabay-sabay sila magpapainom ng kanilang mga flocks. Or maybe for practical reasons, kailangan takpan ng mismong balon para sabay-sabay na sa painom. Kasi kung matagal nakatanggal yung bato, pwedeng matabunan ito ng buhangin. So maybe it's for practical reasons. So, but the point na gusto ni Moses na ipakita sa kanyang original recipients at sa ating ngayon, na ang situation na ito ay God's providence for Jacob. Siya nag-orchestrate nito. Tulad ng pag-direct ng Panginoon sa servant ni Abraham many years ago to find a wife sa Genesis 24, God also directs Jacob para bigyan din siya ng wife. Pero pagkakaiba ni Jacob at ang servant ni Abraham is Jacob did not pray. Nor did he give thanks to the Lord for leading him to his relatives. Hindi natin makikita ito. In fact, throughout this chapter, hanggang 1 hanggang 30, bihira natin maririnig ang Panginoon dito, or the mention of God. Maaring Moses is highlighting a contrast dito. Maaring sinasabi niya that Jacob is still spiritually immature at this point. He was acting impulsively and not fully trusting God. Remember, galing siya sa sitwasyon na paraparaan. Hanggang dito, dinala niya ron, paraparaan. Diskarte niya, hindi Panginoon. Maaring sinasabi niya that Jacob is still immature, yet God faithfully directs his step. Dito pinapakita ng divine guidance does not depend on human maturity, but on God's sovereign grace. In the same way, God directs our steps even when we are immature, weak, and unaware. Friend, are you aware of how God is sovereignly directing your steps right now? Have you fully accepted the doctrine of God's providence? Ano ba ibig sabihin, Pastor, ng God's providence? God's providence means that He continually sustains, He meaning God sustains, rules, guides everything from the biggest events to the smallest details according to His wisdom for His glory. Napakahalaga po na maunawaan po natin ang providence ng Panginoon. Because a right understanding of God's providence strengthens our assurance and trust in Him, reminding us that He is at work in every detail of our lives. If you do not believe a God who is a provident God, then lahat ng nakikita mo nangyayari sa buhay mo ay laging questionable sa iyo. This tells us na ang lahat na nangyayari sa buhay natin ay hindi coincidence. Hindi swerte, hindi malas, hindi aksidente. Lahat ng ito ay under God's good and purposeful control over everything, guiding all things to accomplish His good plans. Yes, mga kaibigan, including the painful experiences. Kasama po yan, including yung situation ng bansa ngayon. Just as God graciously guided Jacob's grandfather's servant many years ago, His gracious providence was also over Jacob in his journey to Padam Aram. Malinaw po yan. God was with him every step of the way. And friends, sa nangyayari sa life nyo right now, wala hong aksidente. Whether we did not cause our situation right now or somebody else had caused it. Or we caused it. Second, providence at the well. Punta naman tayo providence sa well. Habang kinukumbinsi ni Jacob na paalisin ang mga shepherds, okay, napahinto siya habang nagpapaliwanag siya. Bakit siya napahinto? Biglang nakita niya, nandiyan na si Rachel. Uy, parang naman sa pelikula, yung biglang, tapos yung buhok, in slow motion, like, na nakita niya si Rachel, may mga kapunta na. Hindi niya natuloy yung gusto niya sabihin eh. No? Napahinto siya nung nakita niya dumating si Rachel. Ito ang nangyari sa verse 9. Let's read verse 2, 12. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Now as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near and rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud, and Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman, and then he was Rebekah's son, and she ran to and told her father. Now when Jacob saw Rachel, immediately naging attracted siya kagad dito kay Rachel. Parang love at first sight. Di ba? He single-handedly, ito ginawa niya, he single-handedly rolled the stone. Biglang lumakas. Samantalang sinabi kanina, shepherds nag-aantayan para buhatin yun. Kapag niya ang nakagawian na antayan of the whole flock, no? At pinainom niya kagad yung mga flock ni Rachel. Some say nagpa-impress mismo, nagpakitang gilas itong mamang ito by showcasing ang kanyang strength by removing this big heavy rock. Biglang lumakas. Nakikita natin yung narrative, parang tatamlay-tamlay siya na natatakot, biglang lumakas naman dito. Di ba? Pinalakas ako ni Rachel. Ah, yun ba yun? Pero tulad ng kindness na pinakita ng nanay niyang si Rebecca sa servant ni Abraham na pinainom ng tubig ang lahat ng mga camel sa Genesis 24, ganun din ang ginawa niyang kindness sa kanya, kay Rachel. Siya din pinainom niya ang mga tupa ni Laban na pinapastola ni Rachel. Jacob greeted her with a kiss, which is customary greeting, a sign of familial affection. Of course, in yung context na nakikita natin dito, it seems like it's more than familiar affections. Side comment ko lang po yun. And then he weeps. Humagulgul siya, umiyak. Maring he weeps for joy dahil after ng long at dangerous journey papuntang Haran, he feels that he has finally found the place where na kung saan kailangan niyang puntahan, or he found what he was looking for. Sinare ni Jacob kung paano silang dalawa naging related, na siya, Jacob, ang anak ni Rebecca, kapatid ng tatay niyang si Laban. And Rachel, just like her tita Rebecca sa Genesis 24, ran and told her father about the man in the well. Kung makita nyo, halos may parallel na pagdating sa 24 at sa 29. Again, God shows His gracious providence over Jacob here in bringing him to Rachel. It was God who orchestrated Jacob's encounter with her. Dinala siya ng Panginoon in the right place at the right time, and now in front of him is a woman that he likes and he knows his parents will approve. The right gal. The timing, her arrival at the well, and the interactions that follow show that God carefully directs key relationships and opportunities working behind the scenes to accomplish God's good purposes. So ginagawa ng Panginoon ang lahat ng ito. Friends, listen, the relationships in our lives are not random or coincidental. Hindi aksidente yung mga relationships na meron tayo ngayon. Although it seems like it, maybe to some. Lahat ng ating mga kaibigan, lahat ng ating mga classmates, kasamahan sa trabaho, ang ating mga amo, ka-sharing sa flat, kapitbahay, kamag-anak, magulang at kapatid, asawa't anak, pati na rin yung mga failed relationships natin at mga taong mahirap makasama at mga taong mahirap pakisamahan, kasama ang mga tao na patuloy na sinasaktan ng ating damdamin, ay hindi lamang basta mga taong napagkataon lamang itinalaga ito ng Panginoon sa ating buhay. Yes, including those who hurt us. God sovereignly orchestrates these relationships to grow us in holiness and to shape us and use us for His good purposes and for His glory. Hindi nagkamali ng Panginoon na yan ang napangasawa mo. Hindi nagkamali ang Panginoon na yan ang anak mo, na yan ang magulang mo. Hindi nagkamali ang Panginoon na yan ang boss mo. Hindi nagkamali ang Panginoon na nandito ka sa Dubai. And we must trust God with the relationships He has given us. Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom in daily decisions. Seek discussions. Seek His glory in every interactions. And patiently endure delays. Recognizing that God is working all things, even difficulties for our good and for His glory. Alam ko medyo may hangover pa tayo sa sinabi ko na lahat ng mga tao na yung tinalaga ng Panginoon sa ating buhay. It stings because it's true. But at the same time, it's comforting, hindi po ba? As a local church, this also means that God is the one who places people around us, Crossroads. Siya ang nagdadala ng mga first-time visitors, regular attenders, or attendees, and members every Sunday. We must take initiatives to know them and seek His glory in our interactions with them. Ginagamit ng Panginoon ng local church to sanctify us, to sanctify one another. We are not meant to follow Christ in isolation. He calls us into a community of believers where His word is proclaimed, the ordinances are observed, and mutual encouragement and accountability happen. Dito lahat yan nangyayari sa local church. So if you are not part or a member of a local church and you're jumping from one church after another, hindi ka lalago. And in fact, you will be in danger. For the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. In the local church, God uses relationships. Pastors, deacons, teachers, friends, and yes, even those who challenge us all the time to grow us in holiness. When we receive corrections, rebukes, and encouragements within the body, God uses them as means by which the Spirit shapes our character, convicts our sin, and strengthens our faith. Ginagamit ng Panginoon ang local church, palaguin po tayo. The more you become part of a local church, the more you become more engaged and become a member of the church, hindi lagi yan happy-happy para ka nasa Disneyland lagi or Dubai Parks. The more relationships go deeper, the more we tend to see our rough edges. And the more may tendency magkaroon ng conflict or friction. And that is normal. That's why we need to speak to one another. We need to not just call out one another, but to encourage one another. When we call out one another, we call each other out with God's word. When we encourage one another, we encourage each other with God's word. Hindi mga positive thinking, mga kaya mo yan, Bes. Hindi mga ganong klaseng mga encouragements. Tulad ng pagpapaalala sa atin ni Apostle Paul sa Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. Christ gave us pastors to equip the saints so that we may grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. God's sanctifying work is a corporate work. Does that make sense? His sanctifying work is a corporate work. He shapes us into maturity, unity, and love through His church. So humbly serve one another, even those who are difficult, remembering that God is using these relationships to strengthen us, to sanctify us, to grow us. And patiently endure delays. There are times that we become impatient with people, hindi po ba? Endure delays. Endure delays din sa mga gusto nating sabihin na maaaring hindi rin magiging helpful. That will not serve a brother or sister well. Sometimes we just want to unleash those words. Again, we always say this, there are at times, there is wisdom in delays. Endure delays, conflicts, and trials. Knowing that God works all things, even difficulties, for our good and again His glory. And if you're a first timer here, you heard it right. It is God who brought you here. It is God who brought you here. Not by chance, not by coincidence, not by accidents, hindi yung nagkamali ka lang ng liko, but by His sovereign plan. He wants you to be here, sitting on that seat, exact seat, engaging yourselves in active listening sa sermon na to. And you know the Lord is speaking to your heart right now through His word. Just as God orchestrates the relationships around us, He offers you, my friend, the greatest relationship you could ever have. And it's not coming from people, but with Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father, died on the cross for our sins, and rose from the grave to redeem you and bring you into His family forever. So there is now an invitation from God to you to come to Him who are weary and heavy laden, and God will truly give you rest. There is now a call to action for you to turn away from your sins, from self-reliance, from being the God of yourselves, and turning to Jesus Christ, believing His person and His work, Siya lang ang makakapagligtas sa atin, sa iyo. As mentioned, God sovereignly orchestrates relationships to grow us in holiness and to shape us and use us for His good purposes and glory. At ito ang gagawin niya kay Jacob through loving discipline, which is number three and last. Providence in the deception. Pagkatapos kinwento ni Rachel ang patungkol kay Jacob sa kanyang tatay na si Laban, tingnan niyo yung reaction ni Laban. Verse 13, as soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Jacob told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him a month. Now, let's talk about Laban. Laban probably remembered yung encounter niya sa grupo ni Abraham sa chapter 24. No? Laban probably remembered ang mga expensive gifts na natanggap niya years ago mula sa servant ni Abraham. Alam niya na mayaman ang pamilya na ito. Kaya nung narinig niya na yung kapatid niya na napangasawa si Isaac, yung anak ay nandyan, ano na lang ang papasok sa isip niya? No? I-meditate po na yan. Kaya napatakbo po siya. Napatakbo siya para salubungin si Jacob. Pero marahil, nadismaya siya nung nakita niya si Jacob. Nadismaya siya marahil. Bakit ka mo? Kasi una-una, siya lang mag-isa. Walang camel na punong-puno na loaded ng regalo, hindi siya mukhang mayaman, wala nga tulugan, tapos ayun, yung pinakagamit lang niya, yung suot niyang damit marahil. So, probably he was disappointed. But, still, he kissed him and welcomed him sa bahay niya. Inimbita niya sa bahay niya. Now, one thing na kailangan natin maintindihan kay Laban, oportunista itong mamang to. Sakim to. And deceitful. Saan pa ba tayo magmamana, di ba, Jacob? Saan pa ba makukuha yung deceitfulness, di ba, Rebecca? Nasa lahi nila. Alam mo, I've visited a family before sa Pilipinas in my visitation while pastoring there. There's a certain culture yung family na ito na kapag ginawa mo ito, you're viewed as somehow na mataas. And siguro, ang madalas na maririnig mo sa kanila is payabangan. Madalas sila magyabang about what they have, what they can do, what they achieve, from the grandparents down sa mga anak. And because sa kultura na ito, sa pamilya nila, they view it in such a way na parang, well, ito talaga para makita kami na mataas talaga kami. Yun ang aming culture. Now, kung titingnan natin sa pamilya nito, ni Leiba, ni Rebecca, mukhang ito yung kultura ng pamilya nila eh. Deceiving. Gusto nilang manloko lagi. Kailangan hindi tayo malalamangan dito. May ganong kultura. So ito po si Laban. Makikita natin yan throughout the narrative. Pagdating sa bahay ni Laban, naturally nagpakwento siguro ito si Laban sa kanya. And sabi sa verse 13, if you would look at your Bibles, Jacob told Laban all these things. All these things. So ano yun? Shiner ni Jacob ang lahat na nangyayari for the past months sa buhay niya. Na the deception, the scheming, the lying, how he tricked his elder brother Esau by getting his birthright, how he deceived his blind father for the blessing of the firstborn, how his mother heard that Esau wanted to kill him and advised him to flee to her brother to take a wife, and everything na included sa story na yon. He was vulnerable. He was open. He was seeking family comfort. Shiner na lahat. Kamag-anak to eh. And remember, malapit mismo si Jacob sa nanay niya. So, pamilya to ng nanay niya. Natural lang na magiging feel at home siya rito. Na ikwento lahat ng mga to. Kung si Jacob lang yan, hindi magkikwento yan eh. Manlilin lang yan. Pero hindi, he opened up. Pagkatapos ng ikwento ang lahat, Laban gave a very interesting response sa verse 14. Tingnan ninyo ang Bibles ninyo. Verse 14. Surely you are my bone and my flesh. Again, this somehow reminds us of Genesis chapter 2, nung nakita ni Adam, first time si Eve, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Clearly, ang dahilan kung bakit ni-record ni Moses itong part na ito to show that Jacob is indeed his kinsman o kamag-anak or pamangkin. But there's something deeper than this. Moses was telling us even something deeper and even darker. As if Laban is saying, after marinig ang kwento ni Jacob, magkamag-anak nga tayo. You see the tone? Which means both of them are greedy deceivers. And invites him to stay. And he needs, besides, kailangan naman niya ng extra strong man para tulungan siya sa kanyang mga tupa. Jacob stayed there for a month sa kanilang tahanan. Now, kung nakilala na natin si Jacob from the previous chapters, hindi ito freeloader. Hindi ito tatamad-tamad. Hindi ito asa. Kung naalala nyo, he is a man who dwells in the tents sa chapter 25. He is strong, hardworking, and wise. He is an experienced cattleman, an entrepreneur. He is the one who does the transactions and has taken leadership responsibilities sa kanyang pamilya na dapat si Esau. Siya nakikipag-usap pagdating sa mga kliyente. So, maalam itong mamang ito. Tumulong siya sa pagpapastol ng sheep ni Laban, and surprisingly, it was prospering. It was prospering. At napansin ito ni Laban. He noticed this. At isa pang napansin ni Laban, alam nyo, hindi lamang masipag, hardworking, at maalam sa negosyo. Alam mo, manapansin ni Laban? In love ito sa anak ko. In love ito kay Rachel. Hindi lang yon. Laban also knows na he does not have money for the bride price. Ano ang bride price? Binibigay ito sa magulang sa ikakasal na anak, which was required sa kanilang kultura. And so, knowing that, he craftily said sa verse 15, look at your Bibles, because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what's your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve you seven years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Nung tinanong ni Laban kung ano ba ang kabayaran na gusto niyang in serving him, na huwag tayong maging mabilis pagbabasahin yung part na yon. Kung mapapansin ninyo, dito hindi na kamag-anak ang turing sa kanya. Kung hindi, laborer na nangongontrata. Alam niya na mapapakinabangan niya yung pamangkin niya. Alam niya na type niya yung anak niya. Alam niya na walang pambayad to. Sa lahat, para kay Laban yung mapagkakakitaan. Pero bago sagutin ni Jacob ang katanungan ni Laban, Moses, the author, introduces Laban's daughter sa child. Verse 16, pinos niya muna. Leah was the oldest, Rachel was the youngest. Sabi sa verse 17, Leah's eyes were weak. Now, we're not sure what it means. It means tender, gentle, soft, delicate. Sabi sa wikang Tagalog, mapungay. Most scholars believe that this, hindi natin alam basically kung positive to or negative. No? So mapungay, mapungay ba yung parang dreamy eyes? Parang ganon. Dreamy eyes. Well, if you're living in the Middle East, magagandang matang malalaki is maganda. So, most scholars believe that this is because her eye have no spark or fire, or hindi nakaka-allure, walang sindak, hindi maganda sa kanilang kultura, or simply walang dating na kung saan pinaprice sa time nila sa East, sinasabi niya na hindi ganong kaganda si Leah. So in Moses' comparison, Rachel was more attractive than Leah. Kaya hindi mahirap para kay Jacob ang piliin siya at willing siyang pagtrabahuan for 7 years. Which is pumayag naman po si Laban. At para mismo kay Jacob, para lang itong 7 days. Talagang sobrang in love itong mamang ito. Yung mga in love ngayon, nakangiti. Ayun, ngumiti lahat. In love. Ayan. So verse 21, makalipas ng 7 taon, it seems like mukhang nakalimutan ni Laban ang kanilang usapan. Kaya dito yung tone sa verse 22, he bluntly demanded for his bride. Dinimand niya. Kaya parang medyo blunt, no? Laban gathered everyone, he agreed, and held a feast for the wedding. Pero pagdating sa night ng kanilang honeymoon, nag-aantay sa tent mismo si Laban, ay si Jacob. Laban deceived Jacob. He deceived Jacob. At ang pinadala sa kanyang tent ay si Leah. Maari sa buong time ng celebration, nakikita niya si Rachel na nakabalot mismo ng veil, dancing and celebrating. And all throughout ng time na yon, nakikita nilang yung veil. So, maaari nung time na ito, pumasok si Leah wearing a veil. Hindi ito napansin ni Jacob siguro dahil marahil nakainom na rin siya, madilim ang kapaligiran at nakatakip nga ng veil. Kaya hindi niya namukaan. At anong naging response ni Jacob nung nalaman niya na hindi ito si Rachel? Well, binitin tayo ni Moses. Okay? Dito, by mentioning sa verse 24, that Laban gifted Leah with a servant. In their custom, the bride receives a dowry from the father, which is either jewelry, pera, clothing, property, or servants. So sa case ni Leah, binigyan siya ng Leah as a gift, as a dowry. The name of the servant was Zilpha. And later on, sa verse 29, nagregalo din siya kay Rachel ng servant name ay Bilha. Moses added these details kasi mahalaga po ito. For they will bear sons for Jacob on their behalf. So in short, makikita natin yan sa progression and story. Now, how did Jacob respond nung nakita niya kinaumaga na si Leah pala ang kasama niya? Jacob was shocked and immediately confronted Laban and said, "What is this you have done to me? What is this have you done to me? Does this ring a bell?" May naaalala ba kayo sa statement na to? Ito rin ang sinabi ni Pharaoh nung na-deceive siya ni Abraham sa Genesis 12. Ganon din ang sinabi ni Abimelech kay Isaac nung dineceive siya sa Genesis 26 by both telling them, these authorities, that their wives were their sisters. Ang irony po dito mismo is sa verse 26. Ang irony dito is yung sinabi sa verse 26 ni Laban. Tingnan niyo yung Bibles niyo. "It is not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn." Kailangan natin siguro lasahan to ng konti, no? Mabigat tong sinabi niya. Ito ang parang katumbas ng sinabi ni Laban kay Jacob. Na kung ikaw na mas nakakabata, nakuha mo ang blessing na dapat kay Esau na firstborn, dito sa amin hindi pa pwede yung mga ganyan. Kasi dito ino-honor ang rights ng firstborn. Parang sampal ito. At saan nakuha ni Laban yung information na yun? Kay Jacob, kita mo kung ano ugali meron itong mamang to? Hindi nakakibo si Jacob. The deceiver was deceived by his uncle. And then sa verse 27, Laban comes up with an ingenious plan na both of them ay pwedeng makinabang. Look at verse 27. Laban offers Jacob Rachel in marriage. Pero dapat tapusin muna niya ang bridal week celebration ni Leah. At kailangan niyang pagtrabahuan ito for the next 7 years. Total of 14 years. Verse 28, Jacob agreed. Last choice, mahal niya si Rachel. Jacob agreed and completed the 7 days and Laban gave Rachel to him to be his bride. Ano nangyayari rito? Ano nangyayari rito? Here, God allows Jacob. Listen, God allows Jacob to face the consequences of his sin. All throughout ng narrative na to, parang hindi mismo, parang wala. Lahat ng ginawang kamalian at kasalanan mismo ni Jacob, parang walang consequences, hindi ba? Parang walang kaparusahan. Ano ba? Nandiyan ba ang Diyos? Akala ko ba mabuti? Now, ito ang consequences ng kanyang kasalanan. Because God is just. At ginawa ng Panginoon ito, not because He hates Jacob, but because He loves Jacob. Remember sa Romans 9? Esau, I hate Jacob, I love. Ginamit niya ang deception ni Laban to discipline him and to craft his character. God loves Jacob. He's shown him His grace. He's shown him His mercy. He's made it clear kay Jacob that I am the God of grace and I love you. Malinaw yon. And what's interesting dito, ang punishment at consequences in this passage corresponds precisely sa sin mismo ni Jacob. Kung ano yung ginawa ni Jacob, yun din ang kabayaran. Una, sabi sa oracle, kung naalala ninyo, kay Rebecca, the older Esau will serve the younger Jacob. Hindi pa nangyayari ito. At hindi pa mangyayari ito, hindi pa mangyayari yung magsuserve mismo si Esau kay Jacob, not until matapos ang next 20 years ng pagsuserve niya kay Laban. Which is makikita natin yan sa coming chapters. 20 years. Pangalawa, he needs to learn to honor the rights of the firstborn. His first 7 years of labor ay para talaga kay Leah, hindi para kay Rachel. And Laban upholds the rights of the firstborn, di tulad ni Esau na walang pakialam, at di tulad ni Jacob na ninakaw niya basically sa kanyang kapatid. At pangatlo, Laban deceived Jacob, here's what's interesting, the same way he deceived his poor-sighted father, through a disguise. Jacob disguised himself as the firstborn while Laban disguised Leah as the youngest. So in short, Laban has been cosplayed. Ngayon, tingnan ninyo ang consequences ni Jacob. Ang setting ng bahay niya ngayon, meron na siyang dalawang asawa. He will be in a polygamous relationship which is against the creation ordinances. Labag ito sa Panginoon. This is sin. In verse 30, Moses ended this section by saying that he loved Rachel more than Leah. That he is willing to serve Laban for the next 7 years. This would cause tension in the family. And these wives will always compete for his affections. And we will learn that next week. The Lord has given Jacob consequences that he'll never run away from. But in the process, God doing this out of love. He was sanctifying him, crafting his character. The Lord gives consequences for Jacob that corresponds to his crime. Bakit ginagawa ng Panginoon ito? Because God loves Jacob so much that He doesn't want Jacob to continue in this sin. Ganon din tayo kamahal ng Panginoon when we sin. So this tells us that God disciplines those He loves. It's if our Heavenly Father disciplines those He loves, then parents disciplining children is a loving thing. Of course, there's a wrong way to discipline children. There's a wrong time and age to inflict physical tiny pains sa mga bata. Pero this is part ng love ng Panginoon. At ito din ang ginagawa niya sa ating mga kapatid, no? Sa ating kanyang mga anak. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 9. Put your index finger in Genesis 29 and flip over, move forward to Hebrews 12, 6 to 9. Hebrews 12, 6 to 9. Go there. Hebrews 12, 6 to 9. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Hebrews 12, 6 to 9. Friends, if we claim to be followers of Christ and we are in sin, an unrepented sin, repentant sin, the Lord will discipline us. Kung tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa kasagsagan ng kasalanan, na halos wala na tayong convictions sa ating ginagawa, asahan po natin kung anak tayo ng Diyos, didisiplinahin tayo ng Diyos. Ayon sa Hebrews 12, 6 to 9. He will use hardships through people, circumstances, losses, sickness, delays, abandonment, even death. Hebrews 12, 5 says, do not be weary. Mga anak ng Diyos, hindi dapat tayo mangamba. When God disciplines us for, He does this out of His love, ginagawa niya ito because ayaw niya tayo magpatuloy sa kasalanan. Ginagawa niya ito to make us holy. So friends, if you are in sin and you are feeling the loving discipline of the Lord, allow me to direct you to some of the things na pwede mong gawin. Una, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Kung nandito ka ngayon, you're in sin, humble yourself. Kanina, before the Lord and before others. Stop justifying your sin. Stop justifying your sin. Doesn't matter. Ang galing mo. Pag ang naririnig mo na sa kausap mo, mahirap sa'yo, magaling ka magsalita eh. Pag ganun na ang salita, ibig sabihin, hindi ka na natuturuan. Hindi ka na nakikinig. Matigas na ang puso mo. If you are in sin, humble yourself before the Lord. Why? Because sabi sa James chapter 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud. And He gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself before the Lord. Second, repent where needed. Repent where needed. Don't delay. Don't shift blames. Repent now. Talikuran ang kasalanan. Third, don't isolate yourself. If you are in sin, don't isolate yourself. In fact, that is the very first thing that we do when we are in sin. We isolate ourselves from family members. We isolate ourselves from friends, especially from the church. We isolate ourselves even from God. Don't isolate yourselves. Sit under the Word in corporate gathering. Live a life of accountability sa mga kapatiran. Allow people to speak into your life. Bring it out into the open. So, humble yourselves. Repent. Don't isolate yourselves. Cry out to the Lord. Inyumlas. Cry out to the Lord for His mercy. Remind yourself of the gospel of grace. That though sins, they are many, His mercies are more. As we conclude, Genesis 29 reminds us that our lives are never outside God's sovereign care. What seemed like chance, luck, or bad luck, even painful deceptions are all under God's wise hand, guiding, humbling, and shaping Jacob according to His covenant purposes. At ganun din ang ginagawa niya sa bawat isa sa atin. Perhaps you find yourself in a season that feels parang at loss ka, and you feel that medyo unfair. This passage, Genesis 29, calls us to trust that God is not absent. God's silence doesn't mean His absence. That's not me, that's Tim Keller. He is at work. He is directing your steps, exposing our hearts, and forming our character. And ultimately, our hope is not getting the life that we want. In the end, I think ultimate hope. But in the God who gave us Jesus Christ, the true bridegroom who labored, suffered, and secured His bride for Himself. So let us walk by faith, trusting His providence, submitting to His discipline, and resting in His unchanging promises. Because God providentially guides and disciplines His people for His purposes and ultimately for His glory. Let's pray. Salamat, Panginoon, that You are sovereign. A God who is in control of every minute detail na nangyayari sa mundo na to and even in our lives. Truly, Father, na yung aming joy and hope and confidence and security should not be on the things na kapag everything is okay. But our security, our confidence, our joy, our peace should always be anchored on the finished work of Christ on the cross. and his imminent return. I pray for my brothers and sisters and nandito that you would give them courage and hope in these trying times, globally, but also personally. Praying for those who do not have a relationship with you, may you call themselves to yourself. May you call them to yourself. May you call them to yourself in a saving way. Iligtas mo po sila, Panginoon, so that they may enjoy the sweet providences that you give His children in order to persevere with joy, with strength, and with great anticipation of your return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.